Hi, everyone.
Hey.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey.
Welcome to Radical Nourishment. I'm Natasha Monnathau, an artist and narrative strategist with the Food Culture Collective. And today I'm joined by a crew of emerging audio artists.
I'm Alejandra Salazar.
I'm Nino McQuown.
I'm Shefali Patel.
I'm Dana Wedderburn.
You're hearing the voices of our inaugural cohort from Ears in the Field, a fellowship that we convened at the Food Culture Collective to uplift stories of sovereignty and self-determination found in moments big and small. So all season long, we at Radical Nourishment are introducing you to some radically humane and creative voices working in various facets of food sovereignty. Today, we've got something from you, Danelle.
Yeah, I'm actually sitting in the middle of a farm. I'm in the Adirondacks, and I'm right next to the chicken coop. I'm looking at squash blossoms, some garlic drying out in the sun. There are some sheep around me and pigs around the way. There are butterflies flying around here. The chickens are on their best behavior. They have not made a lot of noise during this recording. So during the pandemic, I actually planted a small garden in my childhood backyard for my mother. And my dad went all in after I told him my idea. His grandparents were farmers, and he was really looking forward to growing some of his favorites, like some of their favorites, like Scotch bonnets, mint, and callaloo. They passed on too, and in a way, we were able to honor their memory with the soil.
Yeah, there's something so comforting about digging your fingers into the dirt and nurturing something back to life after experiencing loss.
When you say loss, I think of grief, something we've all experienced during the pandemic.
Broadcasting live, it's the queen of radio, Wendy. Wendy Williams.
My name is Gil Bailey. I'm the host of the Gil and Pat Bailey Show on WPAT 930 AM on your dial. Every Saturday.
And I can tell you a story about what one dance can do. What one dance can do. One dance can do.
Isn't it funny how memories emerge through our senses? How a sound, a smell, or even a song can remind you of someone you love? I hold many of these memories in the palm of my hand, and they emerge when I'm planting a seed or preparing a meal. I miss watching my parents move through our kitchen together. It was a special dance between them.
Mom and dad cooking together.
Together, right? I'm like, they would cook separately, but do you think they would ever cook together?
Maybe, like, before we were born. I don't know. I would say that, like, they used to cook a lot separately because they just cooked differently. Like, mom liked more refined cooking in terms of, like, in terms of, like, her having, like, finely chopped ingredients. Dad was more of an abstract cooker. He would chop up his ingredients and put them in the pot. They were just different. They cooked in different ways. And, you know, I feel like that kitchen is mom's kitchen still. It was always her kitchen, and she made that a point.
That's my younger sister, Mitzi.
My name is Mitzi, and I'm currently a nursing student that enjoys nature, food, movies, traveling, and sleep.
Our parents were hands-on in the kitchen, the type to stir your pot or turn the fire up or down when your back is turned. There was always talk of too much or too little salt. She had high blood pressure, so we never cooked with any. My dad called it fresh. She called it healthy.
Dad would like turn the heat up and down, and yep. She'd get pissed off.
That's exactly why. She was just like, listen, this is my kitchen. My rules. And they just cook differently. And also, dad would be in the kitchen when mom was cooking as a professional taste tester. And she didn't always like that.
We lost our mom nearly 10 Septembers ago, and this yearly goodbye hasn't gotten any easier.
Oh, this is a toughie. Because we lost an integral part of our family. We lost the glue, as some people would call her. Not even for our immediate family, but also for like the extended family, like her brothers and her sisters, her aunts and her uncles. She was the uniting force amongst all of us, and her absence was felt by everyone. So, I mean, adjusting to her loss was a battle within itself. And I feel like we're still adjusting, even as adults, because in this period of our lives and our age, you know, in our 20s and even beyond, for your entire life, really, you need your mom. And right now, I feel like there's just so many things that I would just want to talk to her about and receive her guidance.
Grief changes you, and it changes, too. No 2 years or even 2 days have been quite the same. To sit with loss challenges our ideas of time, and no, it does not heal all wounds. Some heal and fade with grace, and others sit stubbornly on our epidermis, firm in their refusal to disappear completely. Each memory tugging at the sutures we create, shifting our ideas of what is past and what is present. Food was our thing, and it was the first thing I thought of to honor her memory.
One meal that my mother used to make that I think about all the time, literally every day, is her stew peas. The dumplings were always so soft and supple, and the stew peas were always stewed to perfection. Plus, I used to get to help her make some dumplings too and put it in the pot.
I forgot that. That used to be our job.
Yeah, that used to be our job.
We could just make the dumplings.
Yeah, it's the easiest thing to do. You know, we were young. But yeah, it's my favorite dish and I miss it so much because I unfortunately didn't learn how to make it before she passed away. And honestly, nobody else makes it like she does.
I miss her jerk.
She used to make some bomb jerk. You know, I'm not really a fan of jerk, the spiciness. But her oxtail always was on point. Even the fish, the red snapper.
Yeah, the escovitch.
Everything. Everything nice.
Everything good. Everything sweet.
Everything good.
During the pandemic, I planted a small garden in my childhood backyard for our mother. I had faith that the soil could hold my grief and unresolved thoughts and feelings. There was so much death and destruction during the peak of the pandemic, and I wished for a place to mourn. So I created a small place to sit with loss. When I told my dad about the garden, he was so excited about helping me put everything together.
I remember that garden just bringing so much joy to you both, especially Dad. I don't know, that was like definitely a way for you and Dad to like bond and, you know, get closer. But at the same time, like, Dad has always had like a passion for growing foods, especially in like a garden type of setting. You know, he's low-key a farmer at heart. And you definitely tapped into that, especially during, you know, prior to the pandemic with your kombuchas. But I mean, during the pandemic, at the start of the pandemic, you guys created the garden, and it was a way to connect as a family and a way to connect to ourselves and sort of like ground ourselves literally and figuratively.
Yeah,
like we were literally just eating the peppers from the gardens, any herbs that were grown in the garden, the tomatoes. Dad was really proud of those tomatoes, man. He just, I don't know, like just seeing him light up bringing in like fully grown fruit, vegetables from the garden. It was nice. It was really nice. And to see you light up as well. Like, oh my gosh, I have a new seed to plant. I just got these and I just feel like they're going to be a great addition to the garden. I would say it was really cute.
Our dad grew up on a farm with his grandparents, so he was eager to show off his skills while showing me the ropes. He took the lead, of course, taking time to widen the area where we used to plant mint and callaloo, making room for tomatoes, peppers, cucumbers, and herbs.
Sometimes dad would be like, come, I need to show you something in the garden. And it would just be a bunch of tomatoes, just fully ripened, just looking nice and juicy. Or sometimes you would see that, like, you know, there's a bunny in our yard that lives, you know, in the backyards of our neighbors as well. A few bunnies, they used to snack on the stuff in the garden. And he'd be like, look, we have an intruder. And also, I would go out there by myself sometimes and just observe and see how everything was coming along. It was nice. And you guys still, like, you get stuff from the farm share and you bring it over to him. You bring trimmings, you bring seeds to him. And I'm pretty sure he appreciates all of it.
He taught me how to aerate the soil before we introduced the seedlings to their new home. I observed and took mental notes of all the things he did. Things like flipping large chunks of soil grass side down to keep them cool when the sun got too hot. How he'd plant his feet on the earth and give thanks after an abundant harvest. I started giving thanks whenever I pulled anything from the earth. It reminds me of this poem by Lucille Clifton. It's called In This Garden.
In this garden, growing, following strict orders, following the light, see the sensational two-headed woman, one face turned outward, one face swiveling slowly in.
Thank you, Poet Laureate Mitzi.
You're welcome, my sister.
It's been 3 years since we started that garden, and it looks very different now. The mint has taken over, and I stood back and watched, choosing not to interfere. Spring came and went, and I didn't plant the tomatoes, peppers, or zucchini that I usually do. I didn't plant much at all this year, actually. I mostly sat outside and observed. I watched the rabbits come and go, taking small bites here and there out of the overgrown leaves. The soil brings comfort to me still. But so do the trees, so does the wind, the sun, and especially the forest. We spent a lot of time together this year, me and nature, so it's fitting for us to transition into our fall together.
The leaves believe. Such letting go is love. Such love is faith. Such faith is grace. Such grace is God. I agree with the leaves.
That was The Lesson of the Falling Leaves by Lucille Clifton.
When we first lost Mom, I didn't really know how to process my grief, and I really tried my hardest to just, like, pretend like everything was fine. I didn't really want anybody's pity from the, like, from outsiders, friends, extended family, and I was just like, yeah, I'm fine. I didn't really feel like talking about it with other people because I just didn't really feel like it was their business. And I feel like now, like, meeting people who have lost their mom or a parent and discussing the loss, it helps the grieving process, or it helps me along my grieving process. Just to know that, like, this is something that other people have experienced and are dealing with it and coping with it in ways that are conducive to their growth.
I agree. I also think that my grief has definitely changed over time. I feel like the first year was like, it was like being in space.
Yeah, I would agree.
I feel like we were in space for like a whole year.
Yeah, like a limbo, like some type of place that isn't really a place.
It's like a place where time is moving, society is moving. Other families are moving, and you're not moving anymore. You're moving, but it's like you're in space and the sun is gone. And it's like, well, who do we orbit around now? Who, like, where's our source of light?
It's been difficult to feel the air grow cooler and watch the sun retreat earlier each night. Fall. My favorite season is the most difficult to digest. Autumn is the time of turning inwards and letting go, but I hold onto the people and the things that I love very dearly. Maybe it was best to start small with a walk in the forest, to learn something from the leaves. Today I'm walking on the green trail. It's nice to see some leaves on the ground. What I love about fall too is the leaves are falling and you really get to see the shape of the tree, texture of the bark. They almost look like they're dancing. Oh, there's a little bit of moss here. I love moss. Looks really soft. I'll walk on it. I made my way to Chesapeake State Park in central Jersey to get into the thick of the leaves, to sit with the forest and to better understand its cycles.
It's a really nice section. It's cooler here. The canopy is thicker. The trees have these layers. They just go up and up and up and up. And then they join together. There are many green leaves still on the trees. They're shaking a little in the wind. There are also many brown ones. Crunchy ones. Different colors and textures. Oh, they're little acorns. There are acorns falling.
I came across a family of sassafras trees. I gravitated towards the mother and introduced myself. She was surrounded by fallen berries and leaves. Many of the trees around me were still green, but she had these vibrant colors, deep reds, oranges, and yellows.
Sassafras. The sassafras, a small tree growing on the edge of the woodland, requires a sunny site and may be seen in dry, bright areas of the park. Immature sassafras trees produce leaves of three different shapes, which makes the tree easy to identify. Appearing in early autumn, sassafras berries are slate blue with crimson stems. A tasty tea can be made by boiling the root. Wow, I've been seeing little crushed berries on the ground. I was wondering what type they were. Sassafras berries.
Today is our mother's anniversary. It felt macabre to celebrate death's return, but I was in a forest surrounded by plants, animals, and insects in various states of decay and regeneration. There was something about the sassafras that called to me. Her leaves and berries were falling, but she was surrounded by her children.
There's literally not one day that I won't wake up and be like, I miss my mom. Because I really do miss her. Like, I miss her laugh. I miss her funny, positive attitude. I miss her prime comments and her plethora of good advice. I miss her hugs. Yeah, and she was like my number one supporter. She had dreams and aspirations for me that I never really thought that I would achieve, but I don't know, things end up working themselves out in the end, and I just wish she was here to see it. I wish she was here to see all of us like live in our walk into our destiny and, you know, live as the people that we were destined to be. And, you know, see her grandkids, be around her family, and just experiencing all of the love and appreciation that she deserved, that everybody wanted to give.
If our family is anything like the cosmos, then our mother was our sun. Isn't it hard to imagine a solar system without its source of light? But that's how our world has shifted in her absence. That's how grief can feel too. Heavy, dark, and confusing as you feel your way through the darkness, as you search for new sources of light.
I feel like whenever shit hits the fan, all of us are just ready to pray. Which is something that we picked up heavily from mom. And I don't know, like, the connection that we have with God that was instilled from birth, the connection that we have with spirituality and prayer, and the importance that we hold that within our lives definitely comes from mom, and it carries us through day to day. And for me, I would say that my connection with God and my connection with mom, like, they're all connected. It's like a triangle. And they keep me going, they keep me bonded, and they keep me looking and striving to do similar things that mom did, in a way, in a sense, to help me see her again. Like, I feel like she's no longer here, but I will see her again.
I looked at the different shapes of the sassafras leaves and knelt gently to touch their roots. It reminded me of my siblings, how distinct and unique we are despite our emergence from the same tree.
How would I introduce Quinella Wedderburn? I would say that Quinella Wedderburn was a force to be reckoned with at every turn. The most altruistic, God-fearing, loving woman, mother, sister, aunt, niece, and friend that anybody could ask for. She was the MVP of any team. The light, the warmth, and like you said, the soul of any group, any family, any organization that she was a part of. And she was an amazing leader, extremely intelligent businesswoman that fought very hard until the end.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Mitz.
Oh, you are welcome.
How would I introduce Quinella Wedderburn? Quinella Wedderburn was one of the sharpest, funniest comedians that you would ever cross paths with, because she really knew the power of humor, and she really knew the power of laughter, and she knew how much it could hold. Anger, sadness, frustration, shade. Like,
oh my goodness.
And I thought she also was like a magnetic communicator and really knew language in both good and bad ways. Yes. I also think that her heart was really big, and she had a great capacity to love and to care for people. And not just people that she grew up with or that she nurtured like her kids, but a lot of people that she crossed paths with, like even in her office, even just walking through the airport, like she could make a new friend in minutes. According to the Druid's Garden, the mother tree sends off rootlets that pop up new baby trees. The babies live by the nutrients of the mother tree and hope that the forest will open up enough to give them life and light to reach into the canopy. My conversation with the leaves, with my sister, felt like an opening, a chance to receive divine light while reaching into the canopy. And maybe it's a Pisces thing, but I just feel like she really knew people. She really understood people, and she understood what they needed. And she was so full that she could fill others who were in need or who were empty in other ways. And she was able to fill so many tanks without depleting her own. And I think that's something that we're still learning how to do too, as her children. And I think in her absence that we had to fill each other's tank. And we continue to fill each other's tank.
Wow, that was very poetic.
My mother taught me how to read and write at our kitchen table before I even stepped foot inside of a school. Her passion for literature, theater, and poetry is something that she passed down to me.
When Lucille Clifton spoke of her physical and spiritual connection to her mother, it felt so familiar to me. The first book of poetry I ever read was the Book of Light, so it feels fitting to close with a word from the poet and writer Lucille Clifton, a fellow two-headed woman with one foot in the physical and the other in the spiritual. This one is called The Gift, and it goes like this. There was a woman who hid her head, and ever after she could see the sharp wings of things, blues and greens, radiating from the body of her sister, her mother, her friends. When she felt in her eyes the yellow sting of her mother's dying, she trembled but did not speak. Her bent brain stilled her tongue so that her life became flash after flash of silence. Bright as a flame, she is gone now, her head knocked against the door that opened for her only. I saw her last in a plain box smiling. Behind her sewn eyes, there were hints of purple and crimson and gold.
Radical Nourishment is a project from Food Culture Collective and Heal Food Alliance. At Food Culture Collective, we're transforming the story of food to help us collectively reorient to food as life source, compost legacies of harm, and grow a culture of care. Heal Food Alliance is a national multi-sector, multi-racial coalition building collective power to transform our food and farm systems. Radical Nourishment is produced by our Ears in the Field fellows, as well as Zach Rosen and me, Natasha Monnadau. It's edited by Zach Rosen. To learn more about today's story, visit the links in our show notes.